Okay, this morning we are going to come back to our Zaidi Avram Avinu and try to learn more lessons from Avram Avinu, and he's coming at a very good time for us. We need his visit and what he's able to give us. And the piece that I'm going to be going through with you is from the Sefer Bilvavi Mishkan Evne from Rav Itamar Schwartz. He has a volume Al HaTorah, and is a piece on Lech Lecha, and his stuff is usually pretty hard, so we'll try to make it manageable. The lessons are very important, and they're deep lessons, and the deeper they are, the more important they are, and the harder they are. But you're ready. You're up for the task. I'm sure you are. So let's begin from the beginning. Vayomer Hashem al Avram Lech Lecha. Hashem says, Lech lecha me'artzecha me'latchem ve'savicha l'artz asher areka. And now begins the Bilvavi makes an observation that Avram Avinu's life is as Hashem speaks him from the beginning. Lech lecha, go. And if you go through this whole parsha, this Shabbos, if you take a look at the parsha, you're going to see that the entire parsha of Avram is one of constant going. He doesn't sit still for a minute. Vayelech Avram kasher diber elav Hashem. He went as Hashem told him to go. He took Lot. He took Sarah. He goes to the land of Canaan. He gets to Canaan. He passes through Shechem. Goes to Elon Moreh. Hashem appears to him, makes him a promise, and then he moves there to another place. He comes to the mountain between Beis Kael and Ai. He builds a mizbeach. Vayisa Avram haloch v'naso anegba. He goes traveling down the south. Then there's a hunger in the land, and he travels to Egypt, stopping along many hotels along the way, borrowing from people. And then Paro sends him back, and he goes back to the land where he came from. And he keeps Vayelech Lamasa'ov. He continues to go on his travels from the south until Beis Kael. Then there's this whole argument with Lot and Avram and the fight, etc., etc. And then Lot leaves him, and then Hashem speaks to him and he makes him a promise, and then he moves to Elon Moreh. Then there's a battle between the four kings and the five kings, and Avram has to go forth and fight the battle. He's constantly on the move. And then even after Hashem makes the promise of the Bris Bein HaBesarim with him, and then Sarah doesn't have a child, and now he has to go get Hagar, and the whole story with Hagar was a very busy story, and then Hashem says he has to get a Bris Milah. And then going on in next week's Parsha, where the angels come to visit him, he runs to the angels. He has to go and pray for stone. He's very busy. He's always moving. He's always moving, always on the move. Lech lecha. That is the definition of Avram. He is always on the move. However, on the other hand, we come to the end. Next week's parsha, we're going to skip to source 3, the Akedas Yitzchak, where he's ready to slaughter Yitzchak. Now, we see it's a little different. It says over there, in Perichov Beis, Pasuk Yud Aleph, and Yud Beis, Vayikra Elav Malach Hashem Inam HaShamayim Vayomer Avram Avram. A Malach calls out from the heavens, says Avram Avram Vayomer Hineni, says here I am. Vayomer Al Tishlach Yodcha Lanar. Don't cast your hand to the child. Valtas Lo Me'uma. Don't do anything. Ki Ata Yadati, because now I know Ki Yirei Elokim Ata, because now I know you are God fearing. You did not withhold your son. So why does he have to say twice? He says, don't cast your hand to the child and don't do anything. So Rashi says in source 4, so he says, don't slaughter him. So Avram says, so I came here for nothing? I came here for nothing, to do nothing? Let me at least give him a little wound. Let me give him a nick. Little blood. Tipat dam. Symbolic. Let me do something. Hashem says, do not do the slightest thing to him. Me'umah. Nothing. Not even a mum. Not even a blemish. As if to say, it's interesting that now any movement at all, if you do anything, will be bad. You'll ruin everything. So now it's very interesting how we see that Avram, from the very beginning, his whole life is Lech Lecha. But by the end, Hashem says, freeze. Don't do anything. What is the Torah trying to teach us with this? It's very unusual. This is the bookends of the 10 tests of Avram. So what's the message over here? And that now you're God-fearing. What's meant over here? So this is the first idea we have to look at. The second idea we have to look at is Hashem says, and if you will go back to the beginning, Hashem gives him all kinds of blessings. If you look, we can jump down to source, just not in order, sorry, 13. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will aggrandize your name. I'll make your name big. You shall be a blessing. So Rashi over there explains, I'll make you into a great nation. Since traveling causes three things, if you go on a trip, it diminishes your ability to have children. It diminishes your money. It diminishes your fame. Therefore, Hashem said, you're going to have all three blessings. That he's going to have children, money, and fame. It's going to be good for you, man. Lech lecha. Lahanos. L'tavos. It's going to be for good for you. So it seems this is very shalolishma. It seems that Hashem is saying, okay, you want to go. I want you to go. Here, I'm going to give you this. So why is Hashem doing this? Okay, and you'll see later on some very interesting things. But why didn't Hashem just say go? Why do you have to add? If you think, what would make the test bigger? Wouldn't the test be bigger if he doesn't tell him he's going to get him any rewards? Uh-huh. Right. So there, we once did a piece of Rav Levi Yitzchak who gives an answer on that, but we're going to go in a different direction. You're coming from a bris, from right? A bris. I know. Earl went to the bris too.
Well, he's entitled.
Okay, it's okay. Bris of mitzvah. Then there's an interesting Baal Haturim.
Yeah, I like Baal
Haturim. An interesting Baal Haturim in source number 2 that I hope we'll be able to come around to at the end. The Baal Haturim says, on the very first pasuk, and Hashem spoke to Avram, the Baal Haturim says, Vayomer Pasach Ba'amira. Hashem started with an expression of Amira. With Vayomer. The same way, Beloshon Shenivra Ba'olam, the way Hashem created the world. Hashem said, Vayomer Hashem al Avram, he spoke to him. And that's the same way Hashem created the world, because it says, Shebasara Mamaras Nivra'olam, with 10 utterances, with 10 Omers, Vayomer, Vayomer Hashem, he created the world. And they were all created for...
Utterance is Vayomer?
What?
Utterance is the word Vayomer?
Yeah, Vayomer. Vayomer Hashem El Avram, and Hashem said to Avram. So why is it starting with Vayomer? To say that just like Hashem created the world with Vayomer Elohim Yehior, Hashem said, Hashem created the world with 10 sayings. So too, Hashem is testing Avram with sayings. And more than that, he says, and the whole world was created only for Avram. So if there are 10 utterances to create the world for Avram, so now Hashem is using 10 utterances for Avram. So what is the... It's a cute connection, but what really is happening here? What's the Baal Haturim trying to tell us over here? So, to begin to understand this, we have to understand the nature of Avraham, what kind of a personality he was versus others. And there's a number of steps we have to take to appreciate what's going on over here. You see in the book of Yeshaya, source 5, Hashem refers to Avram, Avram Ohavai, Avram my beloved. The Midah of Avram, Avram's natural characteristic was chesed, was kindness, was ava, was love. He was a loving man. But we'll find at the end, Hashem says, Ata yadati, now I know that you're a God-fearing man. So what's going on over here? So we have to understand, what does it mean, an Avram personality? An Avram personality, a person who is filled with love, is a person who will also be a person filled with lech lecha, to be moving, to reaching out. This is Avram Avinu's natural midah, because the midah of chesed, we know, is an expansive midah. It expands the person. So therefore, how do you expand? By moving about. Moving here, moving there. That's what a chesed personality is all about. That's what Avram Avinu is all about. And that's why he has to move a lot. That's Avram. That's chesed. That's the type of person that he is. On the other hand, Yira, fear. Fear means, you know, don't go past this point. No, there's something dangerous. Stop in your tracks. That's Yira. There is no activity at all. Being motionless. And it seems what's happening here is that Avram, who starts off as a person who's moving around a lot, who's a man of chesed, and that was his personality, Hashem is now telling him by the Akedas Yitzchak that he's saying, you know, now you don't have to move at all. Because now I see you are a God-fearing person. And it's interesting. You see that Avram, he moved so much that even his name moved. His name was first Avram, and now it's Avraham. His name even moved. Yaakov, to a certain degree, became Yisrael. So he had a bit of Avram's personality. His name moved. But Yitzchak was always Yitzchak. Yitzchak always stayed in his place. Yitzchak we know, was Gvura. Gvura is Yira, is fear. So what was going on over here? What is happening over here, as you see, for example, in source number 8, when they had to go to the Akedah, when they had to go to the Akedah, the pasuk says in source number 8, Vayechu shneim yachtov. They went together. So what does it mean they went together? So what's happening is when they went together, is that the two midos were meant to merge. The chesed of Avram is meant to merge into the gvura of Yitzchak and to become one. To become one. And not just that you have an Avram Avinu on the one hand and a Yitzchak Avinu on the other hand, and the two of them are walking together, but to really meld the two midos together. Okay, and let's take this a little deeper and see where this is going and what's happening over here. But that's what Hashem really is making happen here. He's telling Avram Avinu that you were a person of chesed. Now I need you also to be a person of gvura too. There has to be gvura in your personality too, but not just in your personality. We'll see it goes much further than this. And although you were a person who was running around and moving around your whole life, there then is going to become a time where you're supposed to stop. Hashem wants him to stop. Now, let's take this idea a little bit further. There's an interesting Gemara in Brachas in source number 9. Interesting Gemara in source number 9. It says, Talmidei Chachamim ein lehem menucha lo be'olam hazeh ve'lo be'olam habo. Talmidei Chachamim do not have rest, not in this world and not in the next world. Shenelmar, it says, Yelchu mechayel el choyel. Let them go from strength to strength. Oh, and that's what you see by Avram Avinu. He was moving along. He goes mechayel el choyel. Which is not the case by Malachim, as you see in source number 10. By Zechariah, it says, He says, what will Hashem do with the real tzaddikim in the world? V'nasati l'cha mahalchim bein ha'omdim ha'ela. I will allow you to move forward amongst those that are standing, and that's the angels. So a person is a mahalech. A person is a goer. He's a mover. An angel is a stander. An angel stays in his boundaries. He is what he is. He's never going to be anything more than this. The Talmud Chacham, Mechael Achael, he's the Lech Lecha person. He's growing, more mitzvahs, more Avodas Hashem, which seems to be the opposite of Menucha. It's the opposite of tranquility, where there's no tranquility at all. So, the Bovavi asks a question, why is a human being by nature a Mahalech? Why is a human being by nature one who moves? Has to always move. A person of a bal tenua, person always moving, always a lech type of a person. He says, very simple. Because a human being, by definition, always feels unfulfilled. He always feels he's missing something. And he's missing something that he has to fill it up. He has to complete it. And that's why he has to be lechu yelchu mechayel elchoyel. He has to go from strength to strength. Because that comes from a previous level of imperfection. And he has to be mosif aholech. He has to keep moving and adding. While on the other hand, the idea of the angel who's standing, he stands because everything he has is there and there's nothing to add. An angel never grows. Angel stays in his place. Angel is as perfect as it can be. It's not missing anything. It doesn't have to become anything. And therefore the angel, so to speak, stands. Okay, that's the idea that we find over here. So on the one hand, we have an idea of the human being needs to move, needs to fulfill himself. And that could happen in all kinds of ways. All kinds of ways. It could be done in a beautiful, good way, or in not good ways. The tzaddikim go mechayel echoyel. The tzaddik says, okay, I finished one mesecht of Gemara, I have to learn another mesecht of Gemara. There's so much I need to know. There's so much missing in my life. And when he knows all the Gemara, I have to review it, I have to know it better. And, you know, and then no end to the amount of learning I could do. I can always know more. Chesed, I can always do more chesed, I could daven better. There's always mechayel echoyel. What do you think? I'm finished? Well, and on the negative side, person can be saying, you know, I have $500,000, but I need $1,000,000. You know, I have a wife, but I can find a better wife. You know, people are not satisfied in that way. The human being by nature is not a perfected person. Not a satisfied person. In theory, that's not a bad thing to not be satisfied. It depends what you're going to do with that. That becomes a critical thing. So the Bavli says a very important idea. He says, what is really, even though there's the concept that the tzaddik goes mechayel el chayel, because he's lacking this perfection, that's good. And there's the concept of standing in one place is because, you know, you're not going any further. But we have to add an important point. Sometimes the reason why the person's not going any further is because there's no need to go any further. There's no need to go any further. If a person has the aspect of chesed, and chesed is the aspect to expand, and chesed means there's so much more that has to be done, and there's so much more that's not perfected, and we have to do a lot, and we have to accomplish now, we have to expand, we have to move, and we never have any minucha. That's the movement that has to happen. Gvura is the secret of that there are limitations. Gvura says, you know, you don't have to move. Now, sometimes you think you don't have to move because you're not allowed to move. Sometimes they're given a boundary that says, you know, you can't cross this line. You know, an avera. You need gvura to not do an avera. The gvura says, there's a gvul. There's a boundary. You can't go past this. You know? Your wife is okay. Your friend's wife, no. There's a gvul. Kosher food is okay, and trade food is not okay. There's a gvul. You're not allowed to go back past that. That's the simple meaning of Gvura, and that's the simple meaning of limitations. But the deeper meaning, the much deeper meaning of a boundary is there's no need to go any further because you have everything. I'm not missing anything. And this is what the Bavavi says. Let's look in source 11. I tried to take the essence of what's going on over here. He says, the secret of chesed is when there is a deficiency. Therefore, there's a need to bestow kindness and to perfect the deficiency. This is not the secret of gvura. The deep essence of gvura is the absence of drawing forth, of going out. Because there is no deficiency. The secret of gvura, which is the secret of boundaries and limitations, is that there's no need for movement. Not that the boundary says that there's something beyond the boundary which the boundary limits you from reaching. You're not supposed to be there. But rather, the deeper understanding of a boundary is that you don't need to go there because everything is already here. You understand what he's saying. And that's how do you look at Shabbos? Shabbos is a day of gvura. We'll see. You know, you can't do a lot of things. Why? Are you saying because you're not allowed to do these things? Or is it there's no need to do anything? You know, even though you think you're missing something, you can't have it. Or, no, you're not missing anything. So why do you need to go past the boundary? That's the difference. So if everything is here, if I have everything I have, do I have to go anywhere? If something's missing, you have to go somewhere. So a Talmud Chacham generally feels, you know, I'm not where I'm supposed to be. And it pushes him to move further on in life. And that's a good thing. But what Hashem is saying over here at the Akedah, and what Avram really is doing in his life, Avram realizes that as a human being, I've got to constantly grow. I've got to constantly move on in life. And that's what his whole life was. That's what a chesed personality, and you're confronted with challenges, and you feel you have to grow, and you have to make changes, you have to be better. And Hashem keeps giving him tests that forces him to get better. But then we come to a point where Hashem says, it's enough. In the course of your life, that you will continue to grow, mechayel el choyel, but there has to be a point where a person stops. And the Bilvavi at the end says, he says, now, when Hashem says, now I know that you are God-fearing, that you are Yorei Elohim, he says, that the secret of Yira, which we poorly translate to mean fear. You know, you have a fear to do the sin. I'm afraid to go behind the line. I go behind the line and I'm going to get punished. God doesn't want me to go behind the line. But the real secret of Yira is the secret of the perfections of Avram's service as he has elevated himself to the world of the boundary from the recognition he does not need to find another place. Rather, everything is here. In other words, he finally reached a place where he said, at least for the time being, everything is fine. Nothing is missing. You know, we can say, Hashem is saying, sit still. Stand still. So this idea of stillness, that everything is here. There's nothing lacking in your life. Yira means to see things so clearly that you have an inability to go forward, not because you can't go forward, not because there's something wrong in going forward, but it comes from the moment in life when you feel that nothing is missing. Nothing is missing. Hold on. What? That's all the Bilvavi in source 11, but I had to say it in English.
Okay.
It'll be better in Hebrew.
Okay.
It's really based on a Maharal many, many years ago in source 12. The Maharal says, very simple, I'll say it in Hebrew, but I have it in English. Ki hashvita v'hafsaka mora al hahashlama. What does that mean? The ability to stop and discontinue reflects the situation of being perfected. When you reach a point where you don't need anything more, then why do you have to keep moving? Or if they say, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Okay, this is what's happening over here, but we still have to understand why is this happening. But this is already an important idea that the Bilvavi is sharing with us over here. He's saying that Avram's life was one of movement. One where he always felt you have to grow, you have to perfect yourself, there's something missing. And it's something missing, so he has to try to do what he can to fulfill that which is missing. And then Hashem says, no, that's enough. You don't need any more. So the question is, why? What is making this happen? In other words, why are human beings by nature mahalchim by that? And why was Avram Avinu specifically the one who has to go? Why was he the one who had to go more than anybody else has to go? So the Bavavi explains the following. He says, Avram Avinu was different than everybody else. Yitzchak was raised in an observant home. He was shown everything the right path in life. There were no doubts in his life. It was clear. Emunah was clear. He was raised in a house of Emunah. Yaakov Avinu was raised in a house of Emunah. There were no doubts in his mind what had to happen. Avram Avinu, the reason why he was so restless is because who was his father? His father was Terach. He was raised in a house of idol worshiping. He grew up with a very deep spiritual lack of menucha. Because he sees things, he says, you know, I don't understand this. I was taught about idols. Idols don't make any sense. And he has all kinds of questions and all kinds of doubts in his mind. So what did he have to do? He had to travel the world to find the truth till he became certain in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem had to go to a life of Lech Lecha. That's why Avram was called Avram HaYivri. HaYivri. Because he had to go against, on the other side, against everybody else. Right? And he had to... He had to find a way to cross to a different lifestyle. He came from a world of non-emunah, and he'd have to make a lot of decisions. He'd have to make a lot of movement to get out of that world. And to make those decisions and fill that void, that brought the Lech Lecha in his life. He felt very incomplete. He felt very chaser in his life. He felt like the Talmud Chacham has to go mechayel el choyel. And that's why he was that way. Now it's interesting, and this is what the deeper meaning of what the Baal HaTurim is saying. Hashem created the world with 10 mamarot. So the Bavavi says, very interesting, the word Omar, Aleph Memresh. Really the root of that is Mar, Memresh. Memresh is Gematria 240. With the Aleph, it's 241. Yeah, we know what else has Gematria of 240? Amalek is 240. And what other word is 240? Suffolk, doubt. Doubt. And the 240, when you say Misper Koilo, and including the word, makes it 241. So, what happened? What happened when Hashem, every mamar that Hashem made, every time Hashem said Vayomer, what did he do when he created the world? He created all kinds of doubts. Every amar made a doubt because every amar was a constrainment of God's energy. And you saw a little less of Hashem, a little less of Hashem, a little less of Hashem, to the point where there's all kinds of doubts. Did Hashem create the world? Did Hashem not create the world? Which misled the world to think there is no God. God created the world with 10 utterances, with 10 mamarot, 10 confusing ways of seeing the world that can bring all kinds of doubts to the world. So now what would have to happen? What is the Baal HaTurim saying? So now, Vayomer Hashem al Avram. Hashem speaks to Avram. Hashem now speaks to Avram in the world of doubts, and Avram has to live with doubts. And that's what all these tests are doing. They're challenging his doubts. Whatever he thinks one way, Hashem is telling him to do the other way. And every test usually is, well, do I do this? Do I do that? I'm not sure. Well, God's telling me this way, but logic tells me that way. I have a doubt. What am I going to decide? Well, the hope is he would decide that in that world of doubt, and think about it, Omar without the olive is mar, is bitter. When you live a life of doubt, it's bitter. But the trick is, but it's not just a mar, it's an Omar. There's an olive in front of the mar. The olive is Hashem. You have to somehow find Hashem in all these doubts. And when you see Hashem in all these doubts, and the clearer you see Hashem in these doubts, then Avram was able to teach the world that although you start with doubts and you're not sure about things, you have the power within yourself to move forward and overcome the doubts and to be able to grow and grow and be better and bigger and better and bigger. And every time you pass a test, another test comes. Another doubt comes, and you can overcome that doubt, you can overcome that doubt. And the more you get through this, and the more you do this, you're going to reach a certain level where you're going to realize, and all those doubts create what you think is a deficiency. Is this the way? Is this not the way? Is this going to make me a better Jew? Is this not going to make me a better Jew? This creates all the deficiencies in life, makes you have to work harder. But then Hashem says, that's fine, but there's got to be an end game to all this. At certain points in your life, you're going to get worn out by doing this. And there has to be a time when I tell you, this will be a time where tafsik, stop. Don't do me'uma. Don't do anything. Why? Because you don't need to do anything anymore. You have to realize that you've come to a place of completion. You've come to a place where you're not missing anything. And you have everything you have. And when does a person reach that state? And how do you reach that state? When you're ato yadate, now I know that you're a Yorei Elokim. You're a Yorei Elokim. You perceive that there is Hashem. We know Hillel said, Imani kan hakol kan. If I am here, everything is here. And the rabbis say, Hillel is such a modest person. How could he be so arrogant? So they say, Ani, Ani is a code word for Hashem. Anochi Hashem Elokecha, I am the Lord. Im Ani kan hakol kan. If Hashem is here, everything's here.
Beautiful.
You're not missing anything. We're going to learn in next week's parsha. Hashem Beirach as Avram Bakol. Hashem blessed him with everything. What does it mean he blessed him with everything? He blessed him with the understanding that he has everything. And what was everything? Everything was Hashem. But it doesn't start off that way. It doesn't start off that way. And the Bavli makes a great observation over here. He says, when Hashem said, Lech Lecha, and he says, and if you do this, I will bless you. And what was the blessing going to be? Again, we looked in source 14. He blessed him with children, he blessed him with money, and he blessed him with fame. Now I want to ask you, those three things in life, the pursuit of those three things in life, don't they more than anything take away your menucha? Mm-hmm. You know, having children is not just having children. Having children means the whole thing. Raising children, making sure they get married, taking care of them, guidance. It's not just having children. And where do all your doubts come from? Am I raising them in the right way? Is this the right derech? Do I have enough this and that? All these other things. Money, isn't that something we aggravate over a lot? Lots of doubts about money. Should I be buying this? Should we be remodeling the kitchen? Is it worth it when in Israel they're in so much trouble? Should I be spending so much money remodeling the kitchen? People ask these questions. But after all, I haven't remodeled the kitchen in 30 years. Maybe I'm entitled to remodel the kitchen in 30 years. Should I give more money to tzedakah? Less money to tzedakah? You know, there's all kinds of sveikas. And making the money gives all kinds of aggravation. And our name, what we're worried about, our kavod, how much aggravation, how much lack of menucha comes from kavod? And Hashem says, I'm going to give you all these three things. Which appears to be shalolishma, appears to be shelo lishma. But it's interesting that by giving him these three things, it does cause him to lack a lot of menucha as we go through all the tests. He doesn't have a child. Doesn't have a child. That's a test. Then he has a child, Yishmol. Oh, is that a test? Then he finally has Yitzhak. Now he's got to throw away Yishmol. That's a test. What kind of menucha could Avram have when he had to deal with that? All these issues. Money with Lot was all issues. His name. People wanted to say bad things about Avram Avinu. So where is this all heading? It's really heading that although you have lots of blessings, there's lots of blessings, but lots of blessings, you know, and even if you want to do this all l'shem shemayim, you know, I'm making money l'shem shemayim. I'm making money, I should have money to send my kids to day school. I'm making money that I can give tzedakah. I'm having children so that I can further God's name in the world. I want to have a certain degree of self-esteem and honor so that I feel confident in my avodas Hashem. But it takes a lot of effort. You got to move a lot. Lots of doubts all along the line. All kinds of tests in your life dealing with this. You don't have any menucha. You don't have any rest. So why is that so? Is that something that has to be something that eventually should stop? And this is a big question that especially a Baal Tshuva has, which Avram was. But truthfully, any Jew who's from who does Averis and has to do Tshuva is a Baal Tshuva and has these questions. And Avram's whole life is this life of he has to keep moving. He has to always deal with the imperfections of his life. And all the tests that Hashem gives him are tests about his imperfections. Should you do this? Should you do that? I mean, think if he would have made different choices. Think if Avram would have made different choices. You know, Hashem said to go. He said, I'm not going to go. I like it here in Haran. As a matter of fact, I'm doing a lot of kiruv here in Haran, God. I don't want to go to Eretz Yisrael. That seemed like I'm not a bad choice too. But no. So he said, no, I'm going to move. There's a whole world that has to be fixed up. I need to move on. I got to do more. I got to get out of my comfort zone. Very nice. He moves ahead. That was a good choice. It was a hard choice, but a good choice. A lot of times in life, you know, should I move ahead? Yeah, tzadikos mechayel ochoil. But it comes to a point where at the end of the day, you have to be able to take certain moments and say, maspik, it's enough. And the question is, when can you ever really say it's enough? And the answer is, if you're Yorei Hashem. If you're Yorei Hashem and you realize that you now have reached the destination, what's the whole point of Yiddishkeit? The whole point of Yiddishkeit is Hashem wants to bless us and give us the best good in the world. And what's the best good? Is giving Him Himself. Hashem says, here, I'm here. We're together. You have Dveikus. You're cleaving to me. Now, if you are cleaving to Hashem, is there any need to go any further? Is there any need to go further? If you're mamish, feeling close to Hashem, not that you're imagining this, but it's the real thing. Is there a need to go any further? Is there a need to do more? What do I have to do more? I have everything right now. And to enjoy that everything. Now, it's very interesting, if you think about what is going to happen with the 10th test, what is the nature of that 10th test? So the Bavavi says something very interesting. Very interesting. It gets very complicated. I'm just going to simplify it. The first 9 tests were a choice between A and B. Do this or not do this. Send away Yishmael? Don't send away Yishmael. Send away Hagar? Don't. Circumcise yourself? Don't circumcise yourself. By the time we got to number 10, it's interesting. Because you don't find, let's say, in Lech Lecha, Vayomer Hashem el Avram, Hashem said to Avram, you don't find this. And you don't say, Avram says, Vayomer Avram hineni, here I am. Doesn't say that. Vayomer Hashem el Avram, blah, 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 blah. He tells him everything. In all the parshas, every time, Vayomer, you know, Avram was 90 years old and Hashem appeared to him. Vayomer elav ani kel shakai, blah, blah, blah. Hashem's doing all the talking. Avram's doing all the listening, and he's doing what he's supposed to do. All the way, all the way. Hashem talks. But now something should like jump out at you before the Akedas Yitzchak. Was after these things, Vayomer Hashem Elokim Nisa Es Avram. First time the Torah uses the word, it gave him a test. What about the first nine? What about the first nine? Never says Hashem Nisa. Why does it say Hashem Nisa? Vayomer Elav Avram. Vayomer Hinein. Here I am. What kind of a... Why didn't this... Why wasn't this anywhere else? Why didn't this be Parsha? Vayomer Hashem El Avram. Vayomer Elav Avram. Vayomer Hinein. He said Avram. He says Hinein. So like, what's going on over here? Why is the Torah using the word Nisa? So the Bavavi says a remarkable idea. He says this 10 tests was different than any of the other 9 tests. The other 9 tests was a test. Is he going to do this? Is he not going to do this? But the last test, Nisayon, Nes, the root of a test is a Nisayon. It's a Nes. Nes is the Gematria 130, which is similar to the Gematria with Misper Kol of the word Pele, which means amazing, outstanding. Or the Gematria of Aleph, as Alufa Shalom, the great one of the world. He says, or, as you have the word Nes, Nes is a banner, a flag. Hashem Nisa Es Avram. Hashem is raising Avram's banner, which he's saying, sometimes it's not a test. It's not a test. I know you're going to do it. Just do it. We look at it as, oh, he was torn, he was conflicted. Should I do it? Should I not do it? He says, he was at the point where he says, Avram? He says, Hineni. What does Hineni mean? Does it just mean I'm here? Certainly not. Hineni ani muchan lasos kol ma she'ata rotze mimeni. I'm ready to do whatever you want from me. That's what Hineni anochi. Here I am. I'm ready to do whatever you want. So he says, okay, I want you to take your son and bring him up as a korban. So the Torah just says, he gets up early the next day and goes. No problem. You don't see any reluctance. He's ready to go. It's not even a test. So what does Hashem want to see from him? And here's the real interesting point. I'm saying a little bit more than what he's saying, but I think that's what he means. There was still a little test, but it's not what you think the test was. What do you think the test was? Would he kill his son or not, right? That's what you think the test is, right? Isn't that how you always thought the test was?
Yeah.
It doesn't seem from the wording that he had any struggle with this. The other test has a lot of nuances that shows there was struggle. He really didn't want to throw Yishmael out. He felt very bad about it. You know, he reluctantly did it. Circumcision, Hashem had to really persuade him. It wasn't so easy. A lot of these things were really difficult tests. But when he says, and the Torah now says, Nisa. So then it's not like the other 10. It's got to be different than the other 10. You're going to say, well, he tested him now, and he never tested him before. You what? You go through a whole book, and he's testing him left and right. And he says, and now Hashem tested him? So the word Nisa clearly has to be more than that. But it really has to be, you know, he's lifting him up. He's making a banner out of him. He's trying to show the whole world, this is not a test. But it's still a test, but not the test you think it is. Well, he's doing everything Hashem tells him to do. He's not waiting any time. The next morning, he goes right away. He doesn't even tell Sarah about it. He doesn't want her to delay this. He goes. He's ready to shech the kid. He's ready to shech the kid. And he figured, this is the Ratzon of Hashem. There's no question about it. And as we've explained many years ago in previous Parsha classes, that if he would have killed Yitzchak, that would have bring the Tikkun Olam and would have brought Mashiach. And if Rav Dessler says that's a pshat, you know that Avraham Avinu understood. He says, okay, I'm prepared. This is it. I'm not even thinking twice about it. It's not a test. I'm going to shecht him. I'm going to shecht him. The Mashiach's going to come. Now, if God would have asked him to do that, 30, 50 years ago, first test might have been a test. There's no tests anymore. He's there. He's on the page. Anything he needed. He did. So now his hands are up. He's ready to kill him. And then an angel calls out, Avram, Avram. He says, Hineni? Again, Hineni. Okay, what do you want? Whatever you want. He says, don't shecht. Don't shecht. So that's what Rashi says, but can't I even give him a nick? Can't I even give him a little nick? Because then what did I come here for? In other words, he's saying, okay, I'm ready. You want me to kill him? I'm going to kill him. It's not even a test. So now you brought me all the way here. So what did I come for? So let me at least, that was a little symbolic, little nick. So at least I came and I did something. I said, I want you to do nothing. And now at this point, and it was a malach who said it to him. Because what do we know about a malach? A malach doesn't move. It's interesting that a malach should speak to him now, not Hashem. A malach. It's a malach Hashem. But you call it malach Hashem. Don't do anything. Be like me now. Because now I know. You didn't hold back your son from me. Because now I know that you can do everything I want. But now I needed to see one last thing. And he stopped. Because you're able to stop is also a big thing. You have to understand what was going on. When Hashem, the Bilvavi says a beautiful idea. He says, there's two things that was with Yitzchak. There is what we would say, what happened bekoach, and what happened bepoal. Hashem gave the command to Avram, kill your son. If you think about it, when he commanded to kill his son, what was he really doing? He was undoing everything he promised at the first test. The first test, he said, I'm going to give you a reward. And what was the reward? Children, money, and a name. Right? Now, with the 10th test, what's he saying? Kill your son. So what does that mean? No children. And then, if you have no children, what do you need money for? And that's what Avram said to Hashem in this week's parsha. What do I need all the blessings? So all I have is Eliezer, so he's going to take my money. What do you need money if you don't have kids? And if you leave this world without any children, you don't have a name at all. So what was Hashem doing over here? Hashem was taking away all the things that he promised him. He was taking them all away. And Avram is ready to do it. And that was the command. That's what we call that the Bekoach. And according to one medrash, if you look in source number 16, once the knife reached Yitzchak's throat, he was ready to come down. Then they got the word to stop. It was coming to the throat. His soul fled. The fright, he died from a heart attack. He didn't touch him yet, but he just, if you see a knife coming at you, his soul fled. When God spoke from between the cherubim saying, do not raise your hand to the boy, the soul returned to his body. He untied him and he stood on his feet, and Yitzchak knew in the future that all the dead would be resurrected. From here is the source of the bracha, Baruch Atah Hashem Mechaye Amesim. Brought the dead back to life. So really, Avram didn't kill Yitzchak. Yitzchak just died. And then Hashem brought Yitzchak back to life. Right? Or Rashi in next week's parsha, when Sarah heard, Ki'ilu Nishchat. as if he was slaughtered. So what's going on over here? So what was Hashem? And he was ready to do it. So what's going on? You start the 10 tests. Hashem gives him a motivator. He says, listen, you know, I know it's a hard test. I'm telling you to leave. And you got everything you need here. And I know what your concerns are. Children, money, fame. Don't worry, you're going to have it all. It's okay. I'll have that. So I'll go. I'm searching. I'm not sure. I've lots of sfeikot in my life. He's still not 100% sure about God, even though he's come to a conclusion, but now God's giving him more sfeikot. Every vayomer is another suffix. Remember, the world had 10 utterances. Make more doubt. Avram has to remove those doubts slowly and slowly with every test, going backwards. The world was created from utterance 1 to 10. Avram has to go backwards from 10 to 1. From 10, he has to go all the way back to 1. And we'd have to have a whole other shiur to how everyone goes back.
It's 2,400.
A lot of doubts. But no, I'm just saying. So, in the beginning, Hashem has to sweeten the pot a little bit. He says, listen, you know. And of course, why did Avram want children? He wanted it for God. He wanted it for God. He didn't think he wanted it for selfishness. So I want to be a better Eved Hashem. What are you telling me? I'm in Haran. Now you're going to send me away. I'm going to not have kids. If I don't have kids, it's not going to work out. If I don't have money, it's not going to work out. How can I build an outreach center without money? I'm not going to have a name. Who's got my good money here for you, Hashem? No. So, okay, I'll give you all those things you want. And all those things create more rest. And you know what makes the rabbi, not be able to rest? Worrying about where the funds are going to come to pay the bills. Worrying if we're going to still have a good name, if there's more people coming. We're worrying about children, money, and fame. And that, you know, and your decisions give you all this unrest. What's going to be if nobody comes to shul one day? What's going to do if we run out of money? You know, it's for Hashem, but it's Hashem says, don't worry. You're worried about me, I understand. I'm going to give you children, I'm going to give you everything. Don't worry, it's going to all be fine. So Avram is restless because he has to make sure this all happens. So I got to have it. Fine. Comes the 10th test. Hashem says, you know, all those things that I promised you, you know, when you kill Yitzhak, you're going to lose them all. Once there's no child, there's no future. No future, you don't need any money. The whole world's going to think you're nuts, man. You were preaching this. But we're at a stage now where it's not a test. Avram didn't think for a second to not do it. He didn't think for a second. What was troubling him 9 tests ago, how am I going to be an Eved Hashem without the money? How am I going to be an Eved Hashem without the children? How am I going to be an Eved Hashem without the good name? You're telling me to do things that don't make sense. But after 9 tests, and that's why he's moving, mechayel achoyel, just like any good Talmud Chacham, you're not sure, I could be more. Hashem says, now it's going to come an interesting kind of a test from the back door, a backdoor test. So we think the test was, will he kill his child? So what's the problem getting? Of course he's going to kill his child. There doesn't appear any doubt. The Babavi says, but here's the point. The point is, and what Avram was able to show by being able to say he's going to kill the child, is that at the end of the day, Hashem says, now I want you to stop and do nothing. I want you to do nothing. I want you, and you can do nothing now. You know why you can do nothing? You already showed me you could do nothing because you were prepared to kill your son. When you kill your son, that means that there's nothing left to do. So how could Avram be happy spreading ethical monotheism to the world when he kills his son? He won't have the money. The fundraising is going to dry up. Murderer. Religious man turns murderer. No more donations. No more followers. No more children. No more name. And he was willing to do it. Why? Because finally the Gvura came into his life. He said, you know what? I don't need to do anything more. Because I've come to the final realization that if Hashem is here, Imani kan, Hakol kan. I've reached perfection. I can step back and have the menucha sanefesh. I can now have the menucha that everything is the way it's supposed to be. And Hashem says, you know what? Sometimes that's the hardest test in life. The hardest test in life is just to say, you know what? Everything's fine. There's nothing wrong in my life. Now, that's not a good way to approach when you're starting your spiritual journey and when you know you've got major deficiencies. This is not going to be an excuse. Oh, the rabbi said I could take it easy. No, no, no. This is after a lifetime of working hard. A lifetime of working hard. Then Hashem says, comes a point where stop. That's it. You don't have to be any frumer than you are now. You know, and that's, the halacha is don't go anymore. Yiras Hashem is saying, I'm telling you, don't go further. That's it. Ad kan. You know why? Because hakol kan. Because we already have everything. Interesting. The word lech, turn it around. What does it spell? Lamed chaf.
Kol.
You see, first you have your lech. But in the lech, you're going to find out sooner or later, you're going to see that the kol is there. Everything is there. Now let's take it one juicy step further. Now you're going to see how this Baal HaTurim is so genius. The Baal HaTurim says, well, Hashem said Vayomer because of the 10 Mamores. Now the Gemara analyzes and goes through all the Psukim. The truth is Hashem did not say Vayomer 10 times when he created the world. How many times did he say it? 9. You counted in the book of Bereishis. It's only 9. The Gemara asked the question. It's 9. They say Bereishis is also a Ma'amar. Bereishit is also a Ma'amar. Bereishit, Berelokim, that desire to even want to make the world, that's also a Ma'amar. So the question, what does that mean? I mean, is it a Ma'amar or is it not a Ma'amar?
Yeah,
I don't have it. I ran out of space.
Okay, fine.
He says Bereishis is also a Ma'amar. So how is Bereishis also a Ma'amar? Because really, what were all the mamorim? All the mamorim were confusion. Was something Hashem was doing that was adding a layer of confusion. But when Hashem says Bereishis bara Elokim, meaning listen, the first thing is to know Hashem created the whole world. That itself is a mamar. It's a mamar, but it's not a mamar. What do we mean? It's a mamar that Hashem had a will to create the entire world. Now, before he created the entire world, was there anything? What was it? It was just Hashem. At that point, were there any doubts? At the Bereishit. That's before Vayomer. Bereishit, Bereelokim, Hashem, Emeretz. What do you mean? Then it just says, and then Hashem said, let there be life. So what happened? So Bereishit, Bereelokim, really nothing happened. It's just I said, I want this to happen. It's my Ratzon. In the beginning, Hashem wanted to create the heavens and the earth. That's the Bereishit. That was the first mamar. A mamar that began the process was a mamar shalom mamar. Why? Mamar because ramar is doubts.
Yeah.
But Bereishit Elokim is, it's clear.
Wow.
I'm the creator.
Oh.
Right here, Revoke Yom Echad, one day, finished. Echad, there's only one. So now what Avram had to do, the other 9 tests were all dealing with Sveikot. He's going backwards. You know, did God create people or what, did it come from monkeys? You know, is it the world came by accident? There's all kinds of sfeikot in this world. But he's unraveling every sfeik. He said, no, no, it's God, it's God, it's God, it's God, it's God, it's God. Now he has to come back to the very first mamar, which is Bereishit.
Which was perfect.
Bereishit, where there's no doubts anymore. And Hashem created the world for Avram with the 10 mamars. So we have to spend a whole life with these doubts. And struggling and making the right choices. But then you have to come to a point where there are no more doubts anymore. And when does that happen? When you clearly are a Yore Elohim. That means you understand that everything is Hashem. Everything. Everything is Hashem. The fact Trudeau got elected, it's Hashem. The fact that Obama's an idiot is Hashem.
Did he get elected?
Yeah. Yeah. The fact that the whole UN is against us, it's Hashem. What are you worried about? We have sveikot. You have lots of sveikas now, yeah? Oh, should we stay in Canada? Maybe we should move from Canada. And all the Muslims are going to kill us, this and that. What's going to, you have lots of sveikas. Because we're missing something. We're not Yor Elohim. We're not, where's Hashem in the picture? Is Mani Khan, Hakol Khan? We always have feeling something's missing. You know, if we would convince the nations of the world that we're the right ones, so we'll fill in what's missing. You could try. But you know what would be better off? If you have put Hashem front and center, Hakol Kan, everything's here. You know, if everything's here, you come on time to davening, you don't talk in shul, you listen to what the rabbis tell you to do, you don't go on the harabayas, you don't conscript Jewish yeshiva boys into the army. There's a lot of things you don't do if Hashem's Kan. If Hashem Kan, Hakol Kan. Netanyahu feels, if Netanyahu Kan, Hakol Kan. If Tzahal Kan, Hakol Kan. And then you have lots of sfeikot. Then you're not sure what to do. When it's Ani Kan, Hashem is here, then there are no more doubts. Avram was able to show humanity that you can first deal with the doubts, and you're capable of making the right decisions with the doubts. And as we explained a couple of years ago, and even if you make a few mistakes in trying to make the right decisions, Hashem will still forgive you. But as time passes, there has to come a point where all these doubts lead you to a place where, you know, Hashem has kind of showed you a lot, and you've made a lot of decisions, and you see that things have kind of worked out. It has to come to a point where Hashem now is going to give you an opportunity to show how great Hashem is. Because there's no doubts of what you're going to do. Do you follow? Hashem is good. It's not a question I'm going to have to decide, am I going to shecht him? And of course I'm going to shecht him. Something he would never have done 50 years earlier. Because he couldn't. He wasn't ready for that. But he has to come to a point where you've passed enough tests. There shouldn't be any more tests anymore. And because Avram is the man of chesed. Chesed is expansiveness. I have to fix because I'm not perfect. Things aren't okay. Well, eventually things got to be okay. Can't live your whole life. It's not okay. You have to have some pleasure. That you've done. You've accomplished something. With Siyata Dishmai, with Hashem himself. It's okay. Then if it's okay, you don't got to do anything. Why don't you stop and recognize that everything is the way it is supposed to be. And Avram was trying to be, his test, if you want to call it a test, is of course I'm going to shecht him, but the test was for him not to shecht him. You hear? The test was not to shecht him. But what do you mean? I have to bring a korban. What?
The outcome was that Sarah died.
That is immaterial. Although it's not immaterial, but you're going to see that even after Sarah died, he was able to cope with it. Because why? Because it was a Yore Elohim. Only after it was a Yore Elohim could he take his wife away from him. Because then, you know what? Even without my wife, Hakol Kan, everything's here. Vashem Berechas Avram Bakol. Hashem bless him with that. But the test was, and you find this so many times with Baal Tshuva families, where they want to be more and more and more and more, and then they bring that on, and they force the kids to do more and more. And sometimes you got to say, no, let's just stop. Let's just digest. Let's remember there's a God in this world, and maybe we could let go of a few chumras. Well, you know, you hear the latest chumra, you know, you have to have your dress 9 inches below the knee. You know, the latest chumrah, you have to do this, you have to do that, all these stringencies. Because we got to be frummer and frummer and frummer. And what you're doing is you're making your kids crazier and crazier. You know, you have to institute rules that, you know, if the kid is a teenager, he wants to wear happy socks, you know. And the yeshiva says, no, only black socks. He says, okay, let it go, man. The fundamentals of Yiddishkeit don't depend on having not black socks. Well, you got to do all, you know, just there's a time where you just, you know, do we understand there's God in this world? If you understand there's God in this world, even without the money, without the children, without the name, things will be okay. Stop worrying, because Ani Kan, Hakol Kan. To be in that state of tranquility, that is what Hashem is trying to teach Avram, to have this kind of Menuchas HaNefesh. That's what he's trying to teach him. And that's what he's saying. At the end, he brought Avram to Bereshis. Now look at the last source. Oh, you're going to love this one, Esther.
I'm waiting.
The last one. It's in Hebrew. Oh, wait, I skipped something. I got to go one back thing. And this is what, source 17, Chavakuk.
Yeah.
You know, there's lots of mitzvahs in the Torah, 613 mitzvahs. And that's a lot of mitzvahs, and that's a lot of things to focus on. And it's hard for me to hold them, I had 600. So as the generations pass, they try to categorize them into smaller categories, the same amount of mitzvahs, the smaller categories, to make it easier to deal with. 13 categories, 9 categories, 3 categories. Came Chavakuk, he says, it's all one category. The whole Torah is just one thing. Tzadik be'munaso yichya. A tzadik lives with his emuna. But what does it say? It said, he says, bochakuk ve'he'emidom alachas. What is ve'he'emidom? The English doesn't quite do the job over here. He stood all the Torah on one thing. What does he mean, he stood? Because there's lots of doubts in life. But if you have emuna, then it all stands. You can stand, you don't have to move. Emuna means a lot of times you don't do anything. So we got to do, we got to do. What do you mean? You don't got to do anything. You have a moon in Hashem? Hashem has to do some things. If you've done everything you can do. Now, if you're doing Averos, then I would strongly suggest you do tshuva. But say, well, what are we going to do? What's going to be? You know, tzadik b'munasra yichya. But he was mimed it. He stood it all on one thing. You're no longer between the two sides of doubt. And therefore the world which is created with a mamar, a mam amar, with doubts, the doubts are then removed. If you put the aleph squarely in front of the mar, then that removes the doubts and it brings you to Bereshis. And look what Bereshis is. Bereshis, look at 19, is a combination of the word Shabbat and Yoreh. Shabbos and Yoreh. And this is all leads us to what Shabbos is all about. And Shabbos is the day of Menucha. Hashem was busy for 6 days to create the world. For 6 days, Hashem, boy, was he busy. He was moving. An expanding universe. It's like crazy what was going on. Can you imagine those first 6 days, how much movement was going on? Right? Then Rashi says, but after 6 days, there was still something missing. What was missing? Everything was finished. Menucha. Ba Shabbat, ba Menucha. Comes the Shabbos, comes the Menucha. Vayechul Hashemayim Eretz v'chol tzvam. Hashem says, no, even I stop. Even I stop. It was a world for 6 days full of lech lecha from Hashem's perspective. And almost like to say Hashem had no peace, as it were. And then Hashem says, now it's time to stop. Because it's a time to say, that's it. And now that is, and that's what Bereshis was telling us all along. Bereshis is saying the whole goal of creation is there should be Shabbos and Yoreh. To sense Hashem's presence. And when does that happen on Shabbos? Gemara says an interesting thing. You know, that in the Talmud, there are people who are not so religious. They're called Amei Haaretz, Amaratzim. And you couldn't always trust an Amaretz in certain laws of kashrus. Did they give miser, things like that. You couldn't trust them. But they said if you ask them on Shabbos, you could trust them. If they say it's good on Shabbos, because on Shabbos, no one's afraid to lie. Because they still feel there's Hashem's presence on Shabbos. So the 6 days of the week that we go through, they're like the lech lecha of our lives. It's what are we doing? We were promised in lech lecha. Va'avorechecha, va'gadlo shemecha. If you are lech lecha and you work on all those doubts, you're going to have children, you're going to have money, you're going to have parnasa. And you all want to save Shemaim. And you're going to see how much aggravation and doubts are going to be in your mind and tests. It's full of tests. We're not sure what the right answer is. We're all in this doubt for 6 days. Come Shabbos, what does Hashem say? Al tasem uma. Don't do anything. Don't do anything in any way. Don't do tshuva on any averus. Don't go to work. Everything is fine. Ki'ilu malachta asuya. Like all your work is done, physical and spiritual. Everything's okay. 6 days, we're mahalchin bein ha'omdim. We're moving between the malachim who are sitting. On the seventh day, Hashem says, At achshav ata amod imadi. It's interesting, in Parshas Bishalach, when Hashem gave the man, he said, 6 days, every day you're going to collect the man. But what happens on the seventh day? Look what the Pasuk says over there. Look in Source 18. He says, on the seventh day, Shavu ish tachtov. Let each man remain in his place. Al yetzei. Minamakom, don't leave the place, Bayom Hashvi. Don't leave your place. What's Hashem saying? He's invoking Tchum Shabbos, that you can't go any further. And Shabbos are saying you only go so far. Shabbos is be'etzem a boundary. But not the boundary where you're prohibited to go anymore. You know what's a boundary? I gave you a double portion. What do you got to go collecting for today? You have everything you need. Don't go anywhere. Right? Life, everything is exactly the way it's supposed to be. You don't need anything. You know why? Because if you have Hashem, nothing is lacking. If you listen to Hashem, you have everything. Regardless, you have no name, no family, no people, nothing. It doesn't matter. You only need Hashem. And when you have Hashem, b'Shabbat b'Menucha, that's the Menucha in life you're looking for. Even if you're a frum Jew and you're trying your hardest, you don't have any Menucha. You don't know what the right thing you're doing. You have to step back. You got to step back on a Shabbos and say, you know what? Hashem now is really here a lot. And since he's here a lot, it doesn't matter. You're right. You know what? I lost $10 million this week in business. And you're right. One of my kids died, chas v'shalom. But it's still Shabbos. And we still have Hashem. And with Hashem, you have everything. You're not missing anything. Because all those things are supposed to just bring you to Hashem. There's this time when you have to sit still and stop thinking about everything. And that's the hardest avoda sometimes. So I want to do more and I want to do more. You have to stop working, physically working. You have to stop spiritually working. That's what do you do on Shabbos? You daven a lot. Davening is sitting still. You learn, you chazer over what you learned the whole week. Don't go forward in your learning. Review the learning. Take pleasure in learning. Learn a little chassidus to know a little more depth of what it means that Hashem is over here. These are the things that Hashem is telling us over here. This is the great beauty of the Shabbos that Hashem is giving us, that we have to be able to remember that that's what he's affording us. There's one more thing, and I can't remember what that last thing was going to be that I was going to say. But so this really becomes the test for us. Can we be the Yorei Elokim? Can we say, after all the efforts that we have done, we can stop and just say, Hashem, I have you, I don't need anything else. This is so important in this tekufa we're in right now. Everybody's saying, what should we do? What should we do? You know? So again, if you know you've done a bad avera that you need to do tshuva on, you need to do tshuva on that avera. There's no question about it. But really, what you have to do is just one thing. Just trust that Hashem should be happy. Because you don't think for sure. You know, you can be without the United States being our ally, and very soon without Canada being our ally, without anybody ally. Don't worry, is Hashem our ally? If Hashem is our ally, we have everything.
It's very scary.
We don't have to do anything, but we have to be able to what to have, be a Yorei Elokim. To sense, and if you can't see Hashem, if you can't see Hashem in everything that he's doing now, you're never going to see Hashem. Okay. And why is Hashem doing all this? He's doing it for what? He's not doing it to wipe us out. And even if he does wipe us out, then obviously it would be a very good thing to wipe us out if he thinks so. If he thinks so, I'm going to argue on him. Avraham Avinu, Hashem said, go kill yourself. It's fine. I have you. If I have you, what else do I need? Why are we all so afraid? What's bothering us all? Because you know what? We really don't feel that we having Hashem means you have everything.
I don't feel like that. Sorry. I'm not afraid.
Okay, good for you. Good for you. Not teach your friends. But I think most Jews who are afraid, what's going to be is because they don't realize they have Hashem is with them.
But after learning all this, and really, if you don't, and get it?
No, but it's something you have to work on.
There's something wrong with
your
brain.
No, it's something you have to work on. Working on means if you live with Hashem, now that's you're doing everything Hashem wants you to
that's
do.
That's what you're supposed to do, to improve more. Like, so, take on yourself more mitzvot and more things, because but, you make more nichoach to Hashem.
That's right. But you have to also be happy that Hashem is here and that Hashem is guiding. And even if it means we're going to lose our money and our children and our fame, right now the Jewish people have no fame. You know, in the 60s, the Israelis were famous. Ooh, look at the break. We were the darling of the whole world in 67, right? Mamash, we had fame. Unbelievable. Now, all we are is shame. Mamash, everyone spits at Israel now. Yeah, and Netanyahu's trying to convince them. They're just spitting right in his face. So that we don't have. right? Money, there's never enough money for you to take care of all the needs, all the poor people. Money we don't have. Children, not enough children. So we don't have any of them. And we have to be prepared even to lose them, God forbid. If you have to go to war. But you have to know one thing. If Hashem is here, you have everything. There's nothing to worry. You have everything. And the doubt should be cast away. That's what Avram is trying to teach us. That's why we're learning about Avram in these parshiot. So yeah, during the 6 days of the week, maybe it's a little bit challenging, but at least comes a Shabbos, you have to totally say, Hashem, I've got nothing to worry about. Hashem should help us that we should be able to enjoy the Shabbos, and that keeps us going for the rest of the week.
That's right.
Okay.